If you took a ride on the Expo line last month, the LA County Metropolitan Transportation Authority says you helped contribute to some positive numbers. Ridership on the Expo line rose by nearly 60% in the month of June. That's compared to April, with the recent opening of that line's extension into downtown Santa Monica. System-wide, however, it is a different story as average weekday trips continue to decline. Here to make sense of all the numbers is Frances Anderton, host of KCRW's Design and Architecture. She's here now with this week's DNA on ATC. Hi, Frances.
Hi, Steve.
I think I know the answer to this, but why do you think the Expo line from downtown to the Pacific Ocean, the beautiful cooling waters of the Pacific Ocean, is doing so much better?
Well, the answer lay in your question, didn't it? The beautiful cooling Pacific Ocean. I mean, clearly the beach is an attraction. Clearly the Third Street Promenade is an attraction. One is seeing larger crowds of people coming shopping. It seems to me as if the bookends of the line are both very attractive. On the one hand, you have the beach in Santa Monica and the shopping in downtown Santa Monica, very attractive to a lot of people. What a pleasure now to be able to ride to the west side. On the other hand, those of us that live on the west side who feel trapped by the 405, what a pleasure to get on the train and chug to Culver City or to downtown, to be able to go out to dinner in downtown at night and not have the nightmare of parking. So I've got to say the Expo line has some just extremely interesting points on the line that people want to get to.
But numbers are down system-wide. If we exclude the Expo line, and we get word of that as Metro is asking for even more money now, Frances, a half-cent sales tax increase for new light rail and highway projects. Given the decline in ridership overall, are they effectively making their case, do you think?
Well, a report has just come out from a think tank in New York called the Transit Center that looked at ways in which transportation agencies can get the most bang for their buck in investment in transportation. And they found that about 80% of the most frequent riders reach transit on foot. So that suggests that transit does better in denser neighborhoods. LA is very dispersed. There is a lot of talk about the first mile, last mile. That is how you get from home, cover the maybe 1 to 3 mile distance between home and your transit stop, or between work and your transit stop. And some people just give up. It involves waiting for a bus. It involves maybe calling an Uber. It involves maybe driving and then looking for a parking spot, getting on the train. All of those things are deterrents to some people. If you just have to walk half a mile, transit is more enticing.
And once you get to that station, though, no matter how you get there, doesn't seem like there's a lot nearby either. Like, you go to New York and you see, you know, you see these newsstands, or in other cities around the world, you see places where you can buy things or see things or acquire things when you're at the station.
Absolutely. Transit systems in many of the older cities in the world are completely embedded into their communities. Small businesses are part and parcel of the transit experience. Yes, you go and get a cup of coffee. You pick up a newspaper as you wait. Metro itself has a policy whereby you cannot bring food onto the trains. They do not have those little businesses at the stations. However, what I'm sure they'll say is that they totally encourage what's called TOD, transit-oriented development. That is development around the stations. Like, for example, downtown Culver City. At the Culver City station, you now see this business, this development called Platform. It's gone up. It's already become kind of, you know, the hipster mixed-use development. It's full of experiences like cool design stores and SoulCycle and nice places to eat. Those are the kinds of development that Metro will say are going to be the key to the success of the transit system.
And you see this on the Gold Line in Pasadena. You see this in other areas as well, not just in on the west side along the Expo Line. And that's what Metro, I guess, would want to do. But I think it lends itself, Frances, to this question. Do we build transit stations near existing developments, or do we build developments near new transit stations?
Well, certainly there's an argument for the latter, and that's where LA becomes a particular problem. People who favor a successful mass transit system say you have to tie development to the system itself. That's what's going to make it work. Now, there is pushback. This is a region in which people are used to this car-based, rather dispersed lifestyle. So, for example, in Santa Monica, we had a large, dense, mixed-use development called the Hines development, which was going to be at the Bergamot station. and a cohort of residents fought back and killed the project. Not everybody coheres around the idea of this transit-oriented development. So we're going through a big shift, sort of almost psychologically, about what kind of urban living we want to have in LA. And the transit system is really forcing these questions to be asked.
We will ask these questions going forward time and time again, I'm sure, especially as this heats up with the possibility of a half-cent sales tax increase for Metro. Francis Anderton with this week's DNA on ATC. Francis, thank you.
You're very welcome, Steve.